Well, good morning. I greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I'm thankful to be here this morning. I'm rejoicing again in this opportunity to gather with you, brothers. I'm blessed with what Andy shared this morning. As on the way to church, we were talking about covetousness in our van this morning with the family. So thank you for that. I was thinking that, you know, God wants to be. He wants to be everything in our heart. He wants to be everything. And when we're covetous, when we got covetousness in there, it's because God doesn't have every area of our life. We're always reaching for more, and we're reaching for things that God wants to fill for us. So thank you for that. I endeavor to share this morning on opening on things that God hates. The Bible's full of them this morning. And as we walk through life, my burden is this morning that we don't get used to just everyday life and get lukewarm with Jesus and forget about the things that God really hates, because it comes close to home. And covetousness is one of those that can sneak in and penetrate our life. And it can be very innocent, but it can be very real in our heart. Because I thought about that this morning, about my job, about my work, and where do we go with those things? Where's covetousness and where's not, and how much is enough, and all those things. So God, we need God to help us through those areas. You know, as we walk through life, I know in my own life that we can see that 15 years ago, One of the first times I worked for a person that was gay. As I found out that morning, as we was working there, and I found out that this man's wife was another man, and it shocked me. And I found my brother, and we went out by the truck, and we was talking about, what does God think this morning? What does God think of us that we're sitting here associating with people like this? And I tell you, as life went on and as 15 years slide by, I work for a lot of people that got the pride flags hanging out, and it don't shock me like it used to. And sin does that. Sin has a way to wiggle into our lives and become and make us lukewarm in those areas. And it was the same way with my mom and dad. Well, when I look at that gay person there, I work for many people at this time in life that are divorced and remarried. And it was very common. But the gay person shocked me, but not the divorced and remarried. And it was the same way with my mom and dad in the 60s. They had a neighbor that got divorced, and it was a talk of the neighborhood, and we got lukewarm to it. So we used to go street preaching a lot with Benji and Steve and Barry. We used to do a lot of that, and when we went into Fort Wayne, we used to hear this statement said a lot, that God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. And we heard that statement over and over as we would talk to the people. They would justify their lives because God loved them, even though they were sinners. And this morning, that statement's really misleading. It's maybe not completely false, but it's very misleading. It implies this morning that God's okay with the sinner. And it's not true this morning. God's not okay with sin, and he's not okay with the sinner. And because this morning in Psalms 54, it says, we don't serve a God who delights in wickedness, and neither shall evil dwell within thee. It says, the boastful shall not stand before God, and God hates all evildoers. I saw a van yesterday out here in the parking lot, Brother Benny's van, that said that God is angry with the wicked every day. And that is an amazing statement this morning. It is angry. It is an amazing statement. If we're in sin today, God is angry about that. The Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked that loveth violence, his soul hateth. What I'm trying to say this morning is, God takes sin very seriously. He looks at it very serious. Even the little things sometimes that we look at in life and we would think that it's not that big of a deal, but if it's sin, God hates it. The world at large this morning got very comfortable with the statement that God loves the sinner. And us as a church this morning, we're put here to tell men that while God does love them, that it's his, that he hates sin this morning. And he is angry with sin because what it does to the churches. It destroys the churches, it destroys the family unit, it destroys all those things this morning. And you listen to Amos Esch's testimony that he had last a couple weeks ago at Allen County. He was actually a very good boy. He grew up in a very good family. And to see what a little bit of sin done to his life, it destroyed his youth years. It destroyed his younger years because he allowed discontentment and contention in his heart and maybe selfishness. And he had a lot of gray areas in his life because of a little bit of sin. And it caused a lot of strife with his ministry. And through his testimony, he had a lot of tough years because of a little bit of sin. And I'm confident today that if we went to a big event in Fort Wayne, if we went there this morning, it could even be an event that was associated with the Fort Wayne churches, and we'd go talk to the people as they came and went this morning, and we'd come to the conclusion that the Fort Wayne churches failed to tell this generation that God has the capacity to hate sin. He hates it, and he'll judge it with his wrath. This generation of people that we live around, not even in Fort Wayne, I'm talking about all around us, and even it can even creep right in here among us. But I know many of the people around us that we go to these events, they're schooled in the teaching that God is a soft-hearted God, and his judgments are soft, and he's okay with those who break these commandments. And they find it difficult to believe this morning that God hates sin. Does that affect us here this morning? Does that teaching affect us? I believe it does. When we look at this morning and we see what happened with the gay community and the divorced people, it don't shock us like it used to. And those things affect us. The churches around us, their beliefs affect. When we rub shoulders with them at work, it leaks in our life. And that was Satan's plan. That was his plan. That was his big picture this morning, that he was going to do it that way. He was going to bring it in very easy and very slow. And when we allow that to happen, it calluses our heart. It calluses our hearts when we allow that teaching to penetrate our hearts. You know, this morning, I look at it this way. I know that we hate to see when one of our young children are in trouble, or that they're going to be in trouble or they're going to get hurt in some way. We hate to see that. There was a time that my wife called me and she said she saw a coyote beside the swing set. And that done something to my heart. That gave me a hatred for coyotes because I know what coyotes do and I know what they're thinking. And that's the same way God this morning. When we see something that's going to threaten our children, same way God sees it this morning. When he sees sin's going to threaten our life, when he sees us, when we dumb down sin, God knows it'll drag us to a godless eternity in hell. So he hates it this morning when we dumb down sin and we make things okay that God does not make okay. It is God's compassion for the human race this morning and his love for man that he hates sin. We know this morning that God gave the best that he has in heaven that we could be free from it. He made a way this morning that we could be free from sin. He sent his son Jesus to the cross. He died for the sins of all mankind. And he did this as an illustration, I believe, because I often thought that God could have did it another way. He wouldn't have to have his son die for our sins. But God chose this to make an illustration of what he really thought about sin. He thought it was going to take his son to take care of our sin. This morning in Proverbs 6:16 through 19, it talks about six things this morning that God hates. In verse 16 in Proverbs 6, it says, "These six things does the Lord hate. The seventh one is an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." So we see these are just a few of the sins that God hates this morning. And we'll start with a proud look. God hates a proud look this morning. The Bible says that pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. In Daniel 3:37, it says,
The King of heaven, all his works are truth, and his ways and judgments, And those who walk in pride, he's able to abase, which means he's able to bring down. Those who walk in pride this morning, he's able to bring down, because he hates sin. He hates that sin. Not just in the Bible, but in everyday life, pride stinks. Pride is not associated with success. It is associated with failure. And everyone has their own area of life that maybe we deal with these things in. And in the American churches this morning at large, they're proud to be an American. They're proud of their country. They associate the military and Christianity, many of them, they associate it as one. They associate it as if you're a good Christian, you really support the military. You support our country this morning. They're full of pride. The armed forces, the Air Force, and the military, it fills them with that. It gives them a feeling of accomplishment. What about us this morning? What for pride do we have in our lives? Pride caused the fall of Lucifer. Pride keeps many people away from Christ today. It comes down to, what will my friends think? Or they may think that they have plenty of time to seek God. I heard that in the testimonies last Sunday, that the young men thought they were young and they had plenty of time. That's pride, because it came down to a reason why they didn't want to give their heart to Jesus. Many men come down to, what my families think. What will happen to my family? What about my reputation, my job? What happens if I become a Christian? Many men this morning, they lost their lives and they lost their way of life. Our Anabaptist forefathers, they lost everything when they left the Catholic Church. When they left it because they saw it worthy to lay down their pride for Jesus. In Matthew 23:12, it tells us, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." The entrance of the kingdom of God this morning, it comes through humility. It comes through getting on your knees before Jesus. Jesus Christ, he humbled himself. He went to the cross. He was crucified for the sins of all mankind. And every one of us have to humble ourselves at some point or another, come before that cross. This morning, a proud man, he has a very hard time getting on his knees. He has a very hard time to confess that he was wrong and to have areas of his life that he needs to make right. And I'm blessed with every one of those young men that got baptized last Sunday, and that young lady. They had to humble themselves and become nothing. Martin Luther said it this way: God created the world out of nothing. And as long as we are nothing, God can make something out of us. But if we become proud this morning, if we have pride in our life, God can't work. God can't be a part of that. The tongue this morning. A lying tongue. The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue this morning. We can use the tongue to do many bad things, and lying is one of them. In James 3, verse 5, it tells us that the tongue is set on fire by hell itself. The tongue has a lot of power in it. It can bring death, and the tongue can be it can bring life, or it can bring death. The tongue can be a weapon of destruction this morning. An angry leader of our country can launch our whole country into war because of the tongue this morning. It can cause death to a marriage. It can destroy the family unit. It will destroy friendships, careers, reputations, and many other things this morning. And I believe this morning that the tongue divided many churches. It divided many churches that were seeking after God this morning because of uncontrolling of the tongue. What about a lying tongue this morning? There's something that, one of the worst things about a lying tongue this morning is when it says something about another person and it hurts their reputation. It might even be true. God help us do these things, because if we don't control our tongue, it can cause much, much struggle in the church. But what if we let God control the tongue this morning? It can bring life. Because of something said this morning, it can be a tree of life, and it can be soothing to a tough situation. The tongue can, someone coming up beside us and having a word of encouragement this morning can be very soothing to a situation. Proverbs 15:4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but the perverseness therein is the breach of the spirit. The tongue can bring peace. In Matthew 5:9, Jesus tells us, blessed are the peacemakers. I think we all know of a situation that maybe was out of control, and maybe someone with a calm spirit came up beside and spoke life into the situation. I'm sure we all seen the beauty of that and how God's word works when we put it into play like that. The tongue can make a sweet marriage. It can make a strong family. It can make healthy churches. The tongue can give hope to the downhearted. There's many around us. There's many downhearted around us that the tongue can, that we can walk beside and encourage. And I see them all the time. Depression is depression, I believe, is rampant in our day. Many people struggle with this, and I believe that we can encourage them sometimes with the tongue. Just to be able to share a few words of life, to be able to share a little of what we faced in life, it helps. If we faced any depression, which I did in 2015 and 16, or 14 and 15, to be able to share what the brother shared that helped me, just to be able to walk beside them and be able to give them words of life and to give them hope. And I'm sure that if we make an effort to do that, and we see that even with employees, that we'll be surprised at the times they will weep because of the struggles that they have in life. Not necessarily because they're seeking God, but because their life is a mess. And God wants us to be able to speak life into them. You know, so what's going to come out of our mouth when we see a situation like that with some of our employees? What's going to come out? Are we going to be able to speak words of life? In Proverbs 12:18, it tells us, there is that speaketh like a piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. If we seek God in His word, the things that are going to come out of our mouth are what fills our heart. It all depends on what's filling our heart. Jesus said, out of the mouth come the abundance of the... Jesus said, out of your heart, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's in Luke 6. A critical heart this morning is going to produce a critical tongue. The heart that thinks it's always right is going to produce a judgmental tongue this morning. A bitter heart will have a bitter tongue. An ungrateful heart will have a grumbling tongue. I believe maybe many of us know someone who had a grumbling tongue. We used to farm with a group of people when I was younger, and there was I won't talk about the grumbling tongues, but I'll talk about the one tongue that stood out was the one all of us young ones wanted to go work for. We wanted to drive the horses for him when we was thrashing because he was always gracious and generous, and we didn't have to do it right, but he was always, many of our uncles didn't have a tongue like that, and we wanted to work with him. So this morning, a loving heart produces a gracious tongue. A faithful heart this morning will produce a faithful tongue. A peaceful heart produces a peacemaker. A trusting heart will produce an encouraging tongue. And I know, I'll say again, we know the blessing it is when someone comes up beside us and encourages us when we are discouraged and having hard times. I was Amish, and I had an Amish brother that was always encouraging to me. He would call me and check how I'm doing. He knew that I was facing tough times, and he would stop by just to see how I'm doing and to encourage me. And when he left, I will testify, often when he left, I was so encouraged. He lifted me up, and I know there was God that eventually delivered me, but it was him that helped me come to that place. So God's heart this morning is that we fill our life with his word. In Matthew, we have the Beatitudes. We read through those Beatitudes this morning, it'll bring us life. When we fill our things, when we fill our mind this morning with the things of the world, it'll bring us death. If we fill our mind with the internet, with the radio, with all kinds of carnal things, it'll bring death to our spiritual life. God's heart is this morning that we make our mouth the fountain of life. One of the most profound things is what Jesus says to those who lie. In John 8:44, it says that ye are of the Father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him, and he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, and he is a liar, and the father of it. That is a profound thing this morning, to think that the liars, the devil is their father. And it's when we put it that way, it makes, it brings light on who our dad, or who our father really is, when we make easy things of saying the untruth. Jesus also tells us in 8:33, he shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we come to know Jesus this morning, he'll free us from all them lies. He'll free us from those lies. God hates all these sins this morning, not just some of them. And the thing here is that the God hates sin this morning, but what about us? Do we hate sin that way? Do we hate sin the way God does? Because we're never going to overcome. We're never going to be victorious this morning unless we hate these sins that are plaguing our life. God wants us to be victorious. In Proverbs 6:17, it tells us God hates hands that shed innocent blood. It's also one of the commandments, thou shalt not murder. I believe this morning that murder lurks in the hearts of many unbelievers, and even in the hearts of many respected people. John 3 tells us, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. There's a lot can be said this morning about hatred, about hating your brother and your church brother. Many families split in half because of hate in their hearts. I know of many families that split because of bitterness set in their heart, and they had no victory over sin. Many churches also. Murder can be committed in many ways. We can commit murder with bitterness and hate. When we let bitterness come into our life, it will destroy us. And we all know many situations where that happened. We would think this morning that murderers or men that shed innocent blood should be in jail, and rightfully so. But many men this morning in jail got free of their guilt and their sin. And many men this morning that are on the outside are guilty and weighed down with sin. A brother shared with me one time that he was at the jail, and some of the inmates were telling him that they found freedom in their life. But when they see the guards come in the morning, when they walk in there, they see the heaviness and the bondage that they're in. The fourth thing God hates this morning is a heart that has evil imaginations. Evil imaginations is sown in the mind before it is reaped. The law judges sin this morning according to the act, but God judges us according to the evil of our hearts. God judges us this morning for the thoughts that we think. In Matthew there it tells us, whosoever looked at the woman with lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. We need to watch every area of life this morning, every area of what goes through our mind, everything we think of. Even bad thoughts about her brother or anything like that. God sent us here to have a peaceful heart and peaceful thoughts. We're living in a day today when men and women's imaginations are evil in the sight of God. The Bible said he hates this. And God is going to judge us this morning. He's going to judge our thought life. No person this morning with evil thoughts is going to enter into the kingdom of God. Evil thoughts about a church brother will lead to many struggles in the church. Evil imagination leads to action, and it equals sin. Romans 6:23 tells us, the wages of sin is death. The Bible says today that God hates feet that are swift in running to mischief. Evil thoughts and imaginations this morning, if we feed those, it'll lead to sin. The last one here, God hates a man or woman who sows discord among the brethren. Slander and gossip this morning cause much strife in the kingdom of God. It's caused much strife in the churches when we don't actually, you know, it's easy to get. These are one of the sins that are easy to get used to when you hear someone saying something about a brother, and we don't actually hear it be condemned as sin. And we can come to think that it's a harmless thing to sow discord, but God hates it this morning. He hates it when we tear brothers down. Ephesians 4:31 tells us that let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from us with all malice. It's easy to talk this morning. James 1:26 tells us that if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, He deceiveth his own heart, and that man's religion is in vain. It's easy to talk about these things this morning, but God wants us to have a pure love for each brother. That's his heart this morning. The church, the kingdom of God will not function if we have any strife among one another. What are we going to do about the sins that God hates this morning? We need to deal with them because God hates them, and they won't enter into the kingdom of God. If we find ourselves this morning, there's little that we can do about it. As we heard the young men sharing their testimonies last Sunday, they tried in vain to overcome sin. They tried in vain to do better. They tried in vain to be a better boy or a better girl. But until they laid it up on God to help them, they strived in vain. Romans 2 tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may be proven what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Discord among brethren this morning, it divides the church. It tells us in Romans that it's a worldly mind. To sow discord this morning comes from a worldly mind. In closing here, we may have broken one of those commandments, or we may have broken them all. And God hates it this morning. But the amazing thing this morning is that we're still on this side of eternity. We're still in the day of grace, and God's here to help us. God wants us to be overcomers. We're still in the day of grace this morning. He wants us to bring our needs to Him. If we commit any of these, Romans tells us, if we committed any of these, in Romans it tells us that we all have sinned and we all come short of the glory of God. We can repent of it. God hates sin this morning. In the book of Revelations, it tells us this morning that seven churches, God had a strong word for five of them. He had strong words for them. But He had a beautiful promise for them. He promised that those who overcame this morning, that they could eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. And He had many more promises this morning. There's a tremendous blessing in that, to know this morning that if we overcome, if we have struggles, we can overcome and we can still eat from the paradise of God. From the tree of life in the paradise of God this morning. God loves us this morning and He wants us to come to Him. But He does not love us in our sin. He wants us to get rid of our sin. And thank you for listening. So.